Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So we have started and we are starting Open Heavens as our theme for this month. We have done Kingdom Come, we've spoken about Kingdom, we've spoken about worship. We're on a journey towards the end of the year where we are building this foundational block so that next year we are ready for what God wants to do. And this month we have called it Open Heaven Month, where we're going to be teaching on the open heaven. And what does it mean to live under an open heaven? That is the title, living under an open heaven. You see, when the windows of heaven are open, there are no barriers between earth and heaven. There is a connection between the divine and humanity. And sometimes we know this, but we don't really realize that we are at this point in time functioning under an open heaven. Back in the day, in Jesus' time, people believed that the windows of heaven had actually been closed. Why? Because it was about a period of 400 years where there was no new prophets that were raised up and God revealed absolutely nothing new to the Jewish people. But then we get into Matthew 3, verses 16 to 17, and it reads as follows. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. It was at the moment that Jesus came out of the water, he was baptized, he was dunked, so to speak, came out of the water, that the heaven was opened. Nowhere in any scripture have I found or have I been taught that the heaven closed after that moment. That's a good word, JJ. Thanks, guys. So you see, we can assume that even right now, the heavens are still open because God's Spirit has come down and is constantly with us. Where there is an open door, it's an invitation to enter. So if you walk into this place and the door outside there is open, wide open, not closed because of the cold, but wide open, that's an invitation for you to walk right in to this space. You can assume that you can walk right in, and at that moment you can access the space and the place. It's the same with heaven. Heaven is open. Therefore, you can access heaven and you can have access to the space and the place and everything with it. I say this often. When the pantry door is open or even the fridge door is open and my boys are standing in the doorway, I start fretting. I go into prayer mode because I know at that moment in time they're in the space and the place, and when they leave, the cupboards are bare. It's not the same with God. God is God Almighty. He is the provider of all. His space and place is accessible to you and me because there is an open heaven. When there is an open door, it's an invitation to enter. So I say this, living under an open heaven gives us access to experience God's continuous and abundant blessings, guidance, and presence in our lives. You see, an open heaven is a clear and unbroken connection between heaven and earth. Open heaven allows us to walk in the fullness of God's favor and grace. In the fullness, not half-heartedly. He does not give you half-hearted favor. He does not give you half-hearted grace. It is complete favor and grace. Open heaven enables a connection between God and His people where His blessings, presence, and power flow freely. His blessings, His presence, and His power flow freely. You see, it's important to embrace this concept. It's important to live accordingly. Why is it of the utmost importance? Because realizing that we live under an open heaven helps us realize that we have access to a supernaturally good Father. A supernaturally good Father who has the best in store for us. Folks, God is good. He is good. Me saying this to this morning is not just a declaration. Me saying that God is good, I say that out of the experience of my life. My family and myself have and still encounter the goodness of God on so many levels. It's not just what He does, it is actually who He is. You see, God is, His very nature is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, says 1 Chronicles 16:34. Taste and see that the Lord is good, which is Psalm 34, verse 8. But the scripture that I love the most is Exodus 33. It's one of my favorites. Moses is up there on the mountain, and he boldly and unashamedly pleads with God and says, please show me your glory. What is he doing? He is asking God to see God for who he really is. Show me as much as what I can stand, Lord. So what does God say? In Exodus 33, 19 to 20, God's response is, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. You see, God, Moses wanted to see God's glory, but God showed him something then which is still accessible to this day to us, and that is His goodness. His goodness is something that caused Moses' skin to glow with the radiance of His presence. His goodness, listen to me today, will change your countenance. When you are in His presence, it will change your countenance. But being in His presence means that you are in His goodness. You are in the presence of goodness when you are in His presence. And I want to say to you today, church, that your countenance will change. The way you live will change. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you do anything will change when you can taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, today being Father's Day, I want to speak to all the fathers, all the men, all the blokes here, but I also want everyone, male and female, to leave knowing that we live under an open heaven, and thus we are in the presence of the goodness of Father God. The goodness of Father God is an attribute. It's an attribute of Father God. We don't just something that's, it's not just something that we sing about, but it's something that we fully have to embrace. Psalm 119, verse 68, defines the Father's goodness in two ways. You are good and you do what is good. You are good and you do what is good. You are good has to do with His character. You do what is good is His actions. His actions are a reflection of His character. The first focus that we want to have a look at today is that God is good, is you are good. Now, remember that this is God we're talking about, right? This goodness that we ascribe to Him is at the highest and purest possible level of goodness that you can get. Actually, God is the original definition of good. He is good. In and of Himself, He is good. He does not try and be good. He is good. He is in and of Himself goodness. Goodness is who He is. And to make it legal, we'll go and I'll give you scripture. Mark 10, 17 to 18. And I'm reading this out of the Passion. It'll be there. But I would love you to mark this in your Bible. As Jesus started on His way, this rich man runs to meet Jesus, and we pick it up in verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, a man came running up to Him. Kneeling down in front of Him, he cried out, "Good teacher, what one thing am I required to do to gain eternal life?" Jesus doesn't answer that question, but He says this. Jesus responded, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. Only God is truly good." Another translation says, "No one is good but one," capital O, "but one God." No one is good but one God. Now that good in the Greek is agathos, which means excellent, distinguished, upright, honorable, compassionate, trustworthy, selfless, humble, kind-hearted, and peaceful. For us, goodness is an added quality, but not with God. God is goodness. He is good. You see, we call all kinds of things good. After today, I'm going home and I'm going to have a good lamb chop from the barbie. A good lamb chop. Emphasis on good. My boys are going to be barbecuing, and my gosh, I'm salivating as I say that. I cannot wait for this good lamb chop. I have a number of good friends. One of my good friends would be Wei Mok. I would regard him as a good friend. Wei, you think that's great, but wait for the next, because you know what? All things that we call good on this earth is somehow, somewhere tainted and imperfect. Think about it. You see, nobody, nothing can measure up to the good that we talk about when we talk about a good God or a good Father. Not Wei, not a good coffee, not a good lamb chop from the fire of the barbecue this afternoon. Our God that we have is a good God. He alone is goodness itself. He is excellent. He is distinguished. If you can put that up again there, please, that would be great. He is upright. He is honorable. He is compassionate. He is trustworthy. He is selfless. He is humble. He is kind-hearted. And he is peaceful. Now, my question is, how do we see the true character of a person? By his actions. So the second part of the scripture in Psalms 119:68 says this: you do what is good. The Bible, this book is full, chockers to the brim with descriptions that point to what he does. Let me give you a couple. He loves. We all know that one. He protects. Sometimes we question that one. He guides. He forgives. He blesses. He heals. We question that one too. He shows patience. He sustains. He comforts. He loves unconditionally. He's kind. He's merciful. He's even generous. I mean, let's stop right there. There's so much more. I could stand here the whole morning and explain to you what the Bible says, what he does. But here's a question for you. Have you ever thought of God as a generous God towards you? Can you believe that when he looks at you with all your luggage, your crooked nose, all your junk, all the hang-ups, all the past, all the issues, when he looks at you, he still says, I want to be me to you. What is he saying? I want to be me. Who is he? He is good. I want to be good to you. This is the God that we serve. He wants to be good. He doesn't consider should he be good. He wants to be good because he is a good God and he wants to be good to you. Can you believe that when he looks at you, he actually looks at you and he says, you know what? I want you to have everything. I want you to overflow in the extravagant ways that I have for you. This is the good God that we serve. And this Bible can reveal all of that to you. This word can reveal all of that to you. I want you to understand this today, church. God is completely for you. He's not against you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. There's a song that we used to sing. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. I'm okay, I got it. But no, we need to get it. He is for you. He is not against you. He is a good God. He has got great plans for you as well. Plans to prosper you and not even to harm you. It's a plan to give you a hope and a future. You may be sitting here this morning and you go, you know what? I don't know what the future holds for me. Guess what? I know one who does know, and that is God. He knows what future he has for you because he is a good God. But JJ, you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand the scenario I'm in. You don't understand what I am facing currently. You don't know what I have done. You don't know what's gone wrong. Maybe I don't know what you're going through because I don't really know you. I haven't spent time with you. But you know what I want you to know? And I've had a fair share of my own turmoil. I've had a fair share of my own challenges. Even as late as or as early as this weekend, I was facing challenges. But what I want to say to you, I want to say, I am sorry. I'm sorry that you are going through it. But you know what? At the end of the day, people, our God is good. But you know what, JJ? Even thinking about that feels hollow. It feels as if it cannot be a reality. I want to say to you, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You know why? Because your circumstance doesn't change who He is. He remains good. So the psalmist said, only God is truly good. I want to share with you, there was a time a couple of years ago where I lost 8 family members in the question of 3 months, including my dad. It was one of the toughest times, but it was in those times that I realized that I serve a good God. You know why? Because I live in a good country. I live in Australia. We are so blessed in this country. Yes, it's got its issues, but what country doesn't have its issues? You know what? At least we can go to bed at night and we don't have to hear the sirens going off because there's bombers coming in. We can go to bed at night and we can lock the doors and we don't have to wake up and know and even feel threatened that there will be somebody standing over me with a gun to my head or wanting to kill me. We don't have to think those things because we live in a good country. We are blessed, folks. We are blessed. And you know what? Pauline and I don't take that for granted because we go, God is good. Constantly, He brings us to places like this, and He's brought us to Australia. He's brought us to Newman East. He's brought us to Melbourne. Yeah, it was cold. My gosh, it was cold. Praise Jesus, springtime is here. 1st of September, man. When the first blossoms came out, I was celebrating. Got the champers up. No, I didn't. I was considering again. But that's how I feel. That's how we feel about Melbourne. We were on the Gold Coast last weekend celebrating a very, very good friend's 60th birthday. But you know what? It was good. When the plane took off from sunny Gold Coast, humid Gold Coast, yucky Gold Coast, and it landed here and I could put on a jacket again. It was good. It was good. It was good. I want to share a couple of things that I have that has been significant for me as I have worked through the challenges, that has got the concept of God is good from my head to my heart. You see, many times as believers, we believe, we know God is good, but we never get it from here to here. We have to get this concept, this ideal, we have to get it from our head to our hearts because it changes once it's in our hearts. Once we believe it, there's a boldness that rises up within us. There's something that shifts within us. So I want to share three things which I believe reveals His goodness. And the first is the natural blessing, which I've already touched on a little bit. You see, we tend to overlook the nature. We tend to overlook the little things like living in a good country. We tend to overlook the fact that you know, we've got good food, we got good salaries, we got good medical, we've got good systems in this country. We tend to overlook those little things. Yes, there are challenges, but we tend to overlook, we get so caught up with the negatives that we never see the positives. God's in the positives. God is in the positives because He is a good God. David the psalmist, he was moved by God to write Psalm 145. There's a little bit of homework. Go home and read up Psalm 45 in the next week. It's a hymn of praise that celebrates God's goodness, and it is expressed in the created order. In verse 3-4, he shouts out, Yahweh is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. In verses 7-9, describes what the older generation will say to the younger. They will give a testimony of your great goodness. These are the elders to the youngers. They will give a testimony of your great goodness. What am I doing now? I'm giving testimony. I'm not that old, but I'm giving testimony to the young ones that God is a good God. They will give testimony of your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in faithful love. And then verse 9, it says this, the Lord is good to everyone. Say everyone. That includes you. Everyone. In case we missed it, let me just say that again. The Lord is good to everyone. It's not what JJ is saying. It's what Scripture says in Psalms 100 and what did I say? 145 verse 9. The Lord is good to everyone. And then he goes on, and as if the psalmist knows that we will hear it here, but not here. And he says, his compassion rests on all he has made. Amplified says the entirety of things created. Anybody here being created by God? You should all be raising your hands. Psalm 139 says that you were knitted in your mother's womb. Each one of us has been created by God in our mother's womb. Every single one of us. So this, everyone, includes you. You are included in his creation. There's nowhere in the universe. There's nowhere you can go. There's no country you can go. There's no turmoil that you can be in that God won't be good to you. Nowhere. You see, in verses 15 to 17, we read more about the goodness. All eyes look to you, it says, and you give them the food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his way and gracious in all his acts. He's gracious in all his acts. What am I saying? Every relationship, every job, every tree, every taste of food that pleases us. Every song that you hear from a bird, I don't know if you've heard them, it's springtime, the birds are out, they are busy, choo, 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 very early in the morning. Every good coffee. Yes, yes, have I got an amen? I got a couple of amen. Every friend, every block of Marvelous Creations chocolates. Yeah, yeah, I got a couple of friends, yeah. Every blossom on the trees. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, just drive down Middleborough Road. This road, actually, where are we? This road here, the other time was just full of blossoms. Drive down Middleborough Road, it is beautiful. Hello. That is the goodness of God. That is the goodness of God. Everywhere you go, every flower, every field is a reminder of his compassion for us and his goodness towards us. Another way God reveals his goodness is kind intentions. Psalm 137, totally devoted to this theme. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And the psalmist goes on and he gives four different scenarios where God graciously steps in to reveal his goodness. The first is God comes to the rescue of people who are frantically searching for something or someone to satisfy their soul. All they have to do is cry out to the Lord. He delivers them. He finds their soul and he brings their soul into the true home that they have. Another way that God reveals his goodness is he intervenes in the lives of those who have rebelled against the word of God and suffer for it. What happens? As soon as they repent, he delivers them from their distress. He breaks the chains of sin and addiction that bind him, and he turns their night to day. This is the good God that we serve, people. God intervenes in another way. He intervenes on the lives of the people who are foolish, who have given themselves over to sin, because when they cry out to the Lord, he comes and he heals them. But he doesn't only heal them, he reverses the killing effect of sin on their lives. And the fourth one, it's God rescues those pounded by calamity. I am sure if I ask this morning, who here has been pounded by calamity? Who here has faced trials and tribulations in the past couple of weeks? I can guarantee you 95 of the people, if not 99, would raise their hands and say, that is me. But you know what? My God is so good that when the storm comes to threaten to sink you and sink your boat, guess what? When you are at your wit's end and you call to him, guess what he does? He stands up, he speaks to the storm, and he says to the storm, be still. Why does he do that? Because he is a good God. Great example in the Bible is Peter. Peter's in the boat. Jesus comes walking on the water. What does Peter say? Hey, Lord, if that's you, call me out. Jesus says, come. He steps out of the water. He starts walking on the water. Guess what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus and glug, glug, glug. He starts sinking. Guess what he does? The Bible says he cried out, Lord, save me. And in Matthew 14:31, immediately This is what scripture says. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Immediately, as soon as Peter said, Lord, save me. As soon as you say, Lord, save me. As soon as you say, Lord, help me. He goes into action. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he didn't wait for Peter to drown half. He didn't wait for Peter. He didn't turn his back on Peter and leave him to his own peril. Immediately, the scripture says, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've cried out to God, even if it was a little whimper, and he reached out? Those are the times that you have to remember. Those are the times where he reveals his goodness to you. Those are the times that you need to meditate. Many times we meditate on the negative. We meditate on what's going wrong instead of what has been made good by our good God. I want to call us as a church. It's time to shift the thinking. It's time to shift the thinking and to see that we live in an open heaven, to realize that with the open heaven, we have access to the good God, the good supernatural Father that he is. Lastly, the most impacting way God reveals his goodness is through his son, Jesus. The majority of us are sitting in this room because of Jesus. Colossians 1 reminds us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. This is verse 15. And that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. What am I saying? Jesus is God's goodness in flesh. He demonstrates God's good desire to save and to pour out blessing and to help and to deliver in all the areas. What does he deliver us from? He took the judgment that was meant to be ours. The judgment that was meant to be ours, he took upon himself. He didn't deserve it, but he took upon himself. Romans 5:8 says, God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, what did he do? He died for us. God's extravagant goodness flowed to us in amazing substitution of his son in our place. Another way, God he includes all good things in the gift of himself. Don't think that he's only giving you half the solution. He includes all good things in the gift of himself. Romans 8:32 says that this of God, he did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How? Will he not also with him grant us everything? In other words, God has already shown us his goodness through his son, but he does not leave us there. He includes all the other details that we need to help you and I live a godly life through the thick and the thin. Plainly, church, what am I saying? You can do this. Why? Because you have a good father who is supernatural and who wants to see you flourish. Good word, JJ. Jesus is like a key. Jesus unlocks, he unlocked the heavens. As soon as he came out, the heavens opened. He continues to unlock God's goodness towards us in new ways. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Jesus said, yes, I will go to the cross. And through that, we have eternal life. It was the yes, the stamp of Jesus, the yes of Jesus. Jesus is the fulfiller and the fulfillment of all the promises of God. All the good and perfect gifts of God come to us through our what? Our relationship with Jesus. Folks, it's time. It's time to turn back to Jesus. It's time to turn back to our good, good Father. It's time to realize that you are walking in under an open heaven and that you have access to the supernatural power and authority of our God. You see, living under an open heaven is not just about receiving blessings. It's about living in close communion with our ever good, loving Father. And as we do, we become like the one we behold. We have an open heaven which gives us access to the goodness of God. And guess what? The more that we have, we behold him in his goodness, the more we become good. We become whom we behold. But we need to respond. You know me by this time. We finish every sermon with this, with a response. It doesn't help I preach, and you just come and listen. If you don't do anything with it, I can't force you. I can teach you. One day you'll stand before the Father and you will never be able to deny, I did not know that, because you've heard it today. 1st of September 2024, Father's Day, Yuma East. What do we need to do, JJ? You need to repent. Repent of unbelief and ingratitude. Repent of unbelief and ingratitude. What's the unbelief? Unbelief that you have an open heaven. Unbelief that you have access to an amazing Father. Unbelief and the ingratitude that He didn't only send His Son to die for you, but He also unlocked heaven for you so that you have access to all that is God, which is good. Repent of unbelief and ingratitude. Romans 2:4 says, Do you despise the riches of His kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's kindness, God's goodness, God's faithfulness is intended to lead you to repentance. Yes, you've heard me use the word repentance for a couple of weekends now, but you know what? It's time that the church starts repenting. It's time that the church starts turning away from being lethargic. The time that the church starts turning away from just attending on a Sunday. You are the church, not this building. Not this building. You are the church. He has called you by name. He said, God said in the Word that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are the church. He will build you. He wants to build you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. You are the church. Come on, church. It's time. It's time that we stand in that authority under an open heaven, under the authority, in the authority and the power that He has given us. Let's desire the giver with all our hearts, not the gifts. Stop. Look around you. See the hand of God in your life. Turn today. Look at the person next to you. You know that they are made in the image of God? You know that He smiles down upon them? You know that He loves them so much that He sent His Son to die for them? You know that homeless person that pushes the trolleys that when you walk past them, you nearly gag because of the stench that's around. You know that He loves them, that He sent Jesus to die for them. They may not know Him in personality, but He still sent His Son to die for them. That's what we've got to realize, people. We have to realize, when we're driving down Middleborough Road and you see the blossoms, make sure you take note of the blossoms. There's different colors of blossoms, different shades, different seasons of the blossoms. All these trees are now pretty green. No, those blossoms are gone. I'm disappointed. But luckily, Middleborough Road still got the blossoms. I want to take pictures. I want to send it to the Gold Coast people going, na, 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 na. Another response. He rests in His goodness when adversity comes. The church at this point in time is tossed to and fro with everything that is happening in the world. No, 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 no. He is in your boat with you. He is sleeping, actually. That's how much peace He's got. You might be freaking out, but He is in the boat with you. We live in a world where bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. But guess what? It's not yours and mine to question. All we have to do is we have to rest in His goodness when adversity comes. God is a great God and He has so much goodness stored up for you. The last thing, and I finish with this. Thanks, Tim. If you can come and help me sound beautiful, that's great. Step out in faith. This is an action. Step out in faith. What do I mean? You see, when you start believing, not knowing, believing that He is a good God and that He is good all the time, it frees you up to take the increasing steps of faith. It frees you up. Fear is out of the window. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this, but this is God's intent towards me and my family every time I read it. For I know the plans I have you. That's the Lord's, this year's the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I mean, what an amazing scripture. My circumstance may not look like that, but it's in the circumstance that I come back to this scripture that I know that He has plans for me, and they are good plans, and they're plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. I might look at the circumstances and I don't see any hope, but guess what? I know the one who does have hope. Every single one of you, he is exactly the same. It's not just JJ. You don't have to be a pastor to experience the hope. You got to be a believer. That's it. Full stop. Believer. You believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. Guess what? He has a hope and a plan for your future. He has a hope and a plan. It's not disaster. It's not disaster. This week, here's your challenge. Read those two Psalms. Here's another challenge. Look around you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, make me aware of God's goodness. Make me aware of God's goodness. Look around you. All of a sudden, I believe scales will fall off of your eyes. Things you've taken for granted become a reality to you. You know, when you're driving into Westfield shopping mall and it's worse than Christmas time, you can't find a parking. You know that parking that you find right in front of the building? That's not by chance. You know that parking you find right in front of the door? It's not by chance. That's goodness of God. As simple as that. You know, when you walk into Willy's, a marvelous creation block of chocolate is on special. I go, that's the goodness of God. I'll take two of them. Folks, we laugh, but that's the Papa God that I serve. That's the God I serve. That's the God that loves you. He loves you immensely. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the choices you're going to make in 2 minutes' time. He knows, well, it's obvious. He knows you're going to eat a sausage later on, but He knows everything. He knows the conversation you're going to have on the phone. He knows those things. Nothing is a surprise to our good God. He's a good God, and He has you in the forefront of His mind constantly. I want to finish up. I'm going to finish up, Pauline. I am going to finish up. Pauline, I'm running late, but I'm going to finish up. I want to pray. Is that all right? Can I pray for all our blokes, all our men, young and old, even our teenagers that are maybe in the room? Because I believe that you will be a father. You may sit here today and go, well, I'm not a physical father, JJ, but you may not be a physical father, but you could be a spiritual dad. You know, I said in the first service, because we have a lot of young teenage boys who go to youth. You know what? That they are already spiritual dads, because when they go at youth, they are already imparting into the lives of the younger generation. It's reality. So if I can have all the men standing, that would be great. That's if you want to receive prayer, of course. And then I just want to pray for us. Can we have our hands? Whew. I really feel God. There's such a sense of God in this service. It's different to the first service. You may be here this morning and you go, you know what? I have not been a good dad. It's okay. Behold Him. And as you behold Him, you'll become like Him. He is good. You'll become good. Ask Him ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I do. I pray this. I pray this every day. Father God, help me to be the best husband and the best dad to my kids. He will help you. If we can just have our hands in front of us. Father, right now, every single male standing in this place, we cry out to you and we say, Lord, we know you are good. Help us, Lord, in our unbelief. We believe you are good, but help us in our unbelief. May this concept of you are good go from our heads to our hearts. May we stop knowing it and start believing it, Lord God. May we stop knowing it and let's start living it, Lord God. I pray for every male in this place. I pray, Father God, that there are Gideons at the moment who are in the wine press. Their knees are knocking. They don't know what the future looks like. But I speak to every single male and I call you out and I say, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty man of valor. Father, we know that as we repent, you wipe away the old and you get us ready for the new, Lord God. And I pray right even now, Father God, where some of our fathers are repenting, Father, that you will wipe away the old. You will wipe away the past, Lord, and establish them for the future. I declare over every single male in this place that there is a good, bright, brilliant, excellent, faithful future ahead of you. I declare that each one of you are world changers. I declare that each one of you, your relationships are good. I declare that each one of you, you have great work opportunities, and where you go, God opens up the window of heaven even further, and he opens up the floodgates, and he pours out so much blessing upon you. I declare that you are highly favored. Every male in this place is highly favored. I thank you, Father God, that the men of Numa will not be known for what they do. They'll be known for who they are. Sons of God. Sons of God. Mighty, mighty sons of God. I declare this morning over each one that in our going and in our coming, Lord God, that every male will encounter your joy. Father, even when our earthly fathers have not been the best, Father, I pray that we will forgive our dads. Forgive us. Forgive our dads, Lord God. And turn our eyes towards heaven. Behold you. And be fathers that run after you. Be men, mighty men who run after you and all you are. And Father, that we will be good fathers, spiritual fathers, physical fathers. We'll be good fathers, Lord, because we behold you first. Fire of God, engulf us. All the ladies, if you can just open your hands as well, there where you're sitting. I pray, Father, that we as a family, as a church, as your church, I pray that you will seal this word amongst us and in us and through us, that you'll seal our thought patterns, that we will think like God thinks, that we will speak like God speaks, and that we will transform our communities because we have been transformed. I pray, Holy Spirit, come afresh upon us. Everybody, put your hand on your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come afresh. Ignite the fire deep within me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give God a massive round of applause this morning? Thanks, Paulina.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.